Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Bo Metzia, daf Chaf Beis. We are holding at the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, five lines down at the Tashima. The Gemara is in the middle of discussing a machlokas Abaye Rava, one of the six machlokas Abaye Rava, where we pass in like Abaye, and we'll get to that in Amud Beis. Machlokas Abaye and Rava, whether Yeish Shalomidas, whether an item that a person would normally give up hope of recovering if they are informed, if they know that they lost it, but they haven't yet been informed that they lost it, whether such yeish is considered yeish. Abaye says it's not, and Rava says it is. So the Gemara is going to continue on with various questions or proofs in either direction. The Gemara is going to ultimately paskin like Abaye, as we alluded to, in the six cases that we paskin like Abaye. And then the Gemara is going to have a couple machloksim, which seem to be related, at least according to Tosos, between Rabba and Rava. First, whether a simen ha'asui l'dores, a sign on an item that it belongs to a specific person, but that is likely to be trampled, whether such a sign is considered significant, whether it's considered a sign. And then they're also going to debate a makom, whether the place in which something is found is considered a sign or not. So let's begin. Tashima, five lines in on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Tashima. Shataf na'ar korav eitzav va'avanav. V'natnu b'toch sarech havero. Some versions take out that last phrase. V'natnu b'toch sarech havero. But let's say that a river douses, I guess, covers with water a person's beams or a person's trees or a person's stones, and they end up in a different person's field. Or you could take that out because it's sort of assumed. That's the other version. Hare elu shalo. They would belong to the person who found them in his field, the second person, not the original owner. Because it's assumed that the owners have given up hope of finding these items. And infers the Gemara, Taima de nisyashu habayalim. The only reason they belong to the second person who finds them in his field is because we know that the original owners were miyayish from them. But hastama lo. Bistam, without other knowledge, we wouldn't necessarily know that the person was miyayish with them, and we wouldn't assume that they belong to the person who found them. And that's going to be a question against Rava, because Rava assumes that even Yeyosh Shalomidas, if we don't necessarily know that the person lost hope, because he doesn't know that he lost his item, since he's destined to lose hope when he finds out that he lost the item, it would belong to the second owner. And here it seems like that's not the case. Only because we know that the original owner were miyayish, do they belong to the second person. So Kasha le Rava. So Rav is going to answer, Hacha b'mayaskinan kishayachol lahatzil. The reason over here, it wouldn't automatically belong to the second person, it would only belong to the second person if we know that the original owner was miyayish, is because here we're assuming that the original owner had the possibility of saving this item. This item wasn't lost forever, so it doesn't really fit the normal details where Rava would say that yeyosh shalomidas havi yeyosh, because this is not really something that a person would always give up hope of. Since they are capable of recovering the item, they could save it. Rashi points out, with the kavasav mitzia acheres davar sheyesh bo simen. This is akin to something which you have a simen about. And the Gemara, when it began this machlokas, told us when it comes to an item that you have a simen on, everyone's going to agree that yeyosh shalomidas is not yeyosh. And therefore, this case is not a question on Rava because it's a very specific type of case where you could save the item. Memela, it's not yeyosh shalomidas, and even Rava would agree that it should not be considered yeyosh. So ask the Gemara, ihachi. Ema Seifa, if you're correct that we're dealing with a case where you could save the item, then I'm a little bit bothered by the continuation of that case, because the Seifa of that case says, Im hayu habaylim miradfin achareyem chayav lahachzir, that if the original owners were chasing after either the beams or the stones or the trees, you'd be obligated to return them to the original owner. And ibi yecholin lahatzil, if the case that we're dealing with is a case where the original owners could save the item, then my iria miradfin. Why are we specifying that only if they were running after the item, then are you obligated to return it to them? Afilu ein mirad finami. Even if they're not chasing after the item, you should still be obligated to return it to them because they're yechol nahatzil. You just told me it's similar to a case where they have a simen. It doesn't become yours automatically. We don't assume yeyosh. So it shouldn't matter whether they're chasing after it or not. You should be obligated to return it in any event. So answers the Gemara, no, that's not a problem. Really, I could establish it as a case where you're able to save it, but you're still only obligated to return it if the bailim are chasing after it. Because hacha b'mayaskinan, what is the case that we're dealing with? B'yecholin lahatzil ayyadei erchak. It's a case where the original owners could save the item, but only with some effort, only in a difficult manner. So miradfin, if they're chasing after it, when it's possible to save, but it's very difficult to save, then lo yayish. The fact that they're chasing after it shows that they haven't given up hope of recovering the item. Ve'ein miradfin, if they're not chasing after the item, then yushi miayish. Then it's clear that they have been miayish. So Rav is able to deflect this question. He says, really, the reason that you have to return the item even though only the reason it would only become yours if we know that the Bialim were Miyayish, but if the Bialim were not Miyayish, we don't necessarily know it, then the item would not become yours, is because it's possible of saving this item in a difficult manner. Therefore, if the Bialim are chasing after it, it shows that they haven't been Miyayish, you have to return it. If the Bialim are not chasing after it, it shows that they have been Miyayish and you would not have to return it. It's not a question on Rabbah.
It seems to be in favor of favoring the Bialim than it does the people who not, you know, just take claim for them. You know, it seems to be more favor the favoring the Bialim. Am I right about it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's consistent with what we've seen, because when the Bialim have sort of the upper hand in some way, both Abaye and Rava are going to agree that they should maintain that upper hand. So for example, if it's a Davar Sheyesh Bo Simen, if they have a sign about it, then even Rava is going to agree that Yeyesh Shel Amidah should not be Yeyesh. Uh-huh. Because so long as the Bialim still have a possibility of recovering the item, uh-huh, we can't just say that they've given up hope and it becomes yours. But once sort of like the balance shifts in the direction of, right, the person who finds it, like you're saying, then the person who finds it would have more rights to it. Okay, so that was a question on Rava. Now the Gemara is going to have a question on Abaye. Tashima, Ketzad Amru Hatorim Shalomidas Trumaso Truma. What exactly is the type of case where the rabbis assume that if someone separates Truma Shalomidas, let's say without the knowledge of the owner of the Truma or the owner of the produce, that Trumaso Truma, that separation, that Truma, would be considered Truma? So the case is as follows. Let's say you go down into the field of your friend and you separate Truma without the permission of your friend. So if your friend is concerned that maybe you stole this, meaning you have to worry that what you did was theft, that he might not be happy with what you did, that you might be responsible for what you did, then we would assume Ein Truma So Truma. Then we would assume that the separation of your truma is not valid. It's not considered truma. But v'im lav, if there's no concern of Gezel here, you don't have to worry that you have to take responsibility. He's not concerned about the action that you did. He approves of it. Then we would assume truma so truma. Then we would assume that the truma is considered truma. So ask the Gemara, uminayin hu yodea im choshesh mishum Gezel v'im lav. How do you know if you have to worry about the theft in this case, if the owner is upset about the fact that you separated the truma or not? So Mar says it as follows. Hareshaba balabai sumatso. Let's say the owner of the produce comes and he finds you. The Amar lo klach etzel yafos. And he says, oh, you should have gone to my better produce. You should have taken truma off of the best fruits that I have. So that's a little bit of a cryptic statement. We have to figure out exactly what that means. So says the Gemara, im nimtsu yafos mehen truma so truma. If there actually was better produce than the produce that you were separating, then we would assume truma so truma. Then we would assume your truma is valid. Meim lav ein truma so truma. But if there are not better fruits than the fruits that you separated, then we would assume that the truma you separated is not truma. So what exactly does that mean? Basically, when the owner comes and says, klach etzel yafos, that you should have gone to the better produce. So if there actually is better produce, then it shows that really he does approve of the action that you did. He approves of the truma that you separated. And he really wishes that you had gone to his better produce because he had better produce that you could have taken since we found better produce. But if we don't find better produce, then we interpret his statement as saying, klach etzel yafos, oh wow, like you had to take my best produce. He obviously isn't approving of what you did. He's sort of just saying that because he's in shock, he's embarrassed, he doesn't want to embarrass you. But we would assume that he doesn't approve of the action that you did, and therefore ain't truma so truma. But, says the Gemara, liktu habaylen vehosifu alehen, let's say the owner comes and he finds you separating truma and he joins you and he starts separating truma with you and he adds more truma al truma. So then, beinkach uveinkach truma so truma. Then regardless of, let's say, regardless of what he said, regardless of whether there's better produce or not, either way, your truma is going to be considered truma because the fact that he joined you in the action shows that he really approves of this separation of truma. So ask the Gemara, v'chi nimtsu yafos mehen trumasu truma amai. Why is it that when the guy comes and says, klach etzel yafos, you should have gone to the better produce, and we actually find better produce, why is it that it's considered truma? Be'inna detaram haloha b'yada. At the time that you separated truma, you didn't know that he approved of your separation. He didn't know that you were separating truma. And therefore, this should be similar to Yeyush Shalomidas. It should be similar to a case where the assumption is that the Bialim would be Miyayish from the object had they known that it fell from them, but they simply didn't know. So the fact that we say Truma so Truma seems to be a question on Abaye, because Abaye said Yeyush Shalomidas lo havi Yeyush, that if the owners didn't know that the object fell from them, then their giving up hope would not be considered giving up hope. And here we're saying that even though neither party knew about the separation of the truma for the other person, that still, when he comes later and says, you should have gone to the better produce, and we find that there actually is better produce, then it's still trumaso truma. So this seems to be a major kasha on Abaye. Here, we're assuming that later information or later approval is considered approval. And by Yeish, we're assuming that later giving up hope is not considered giving up hope. They seem to be against each other. So here, Rava comes to Abaye's defense very nicely. Tirgama Rava Haliba da Abaye. Rava explains this case according to Abaye, meaning according to Abaye, who Rava disagrees with. This is how Rava thinks Abaye would explain the case. The case is the Shavi Shliach. The case must be that the original owners of the Truma appointed this person as a shliach, as an agent, to separate the truma for him. And thus, it's not like Yeish Shalomidas, because at the time that you were separating the truma, he actually did know that you were separating, and he actually approved of it Meirosh. We're not relying on later approval, and therefore, even though Abaye does not rely on later giving up hope by Yeish Shalomidas, here he would rely on this truma, because you knew at the time that you were separating the truma that he appointed you as a shliach, and that he's okay with the action that you're doing. And says Gemara, Hachanami Mistavra. It's also very likely, very logical, that the case that we're dealing with is that the original owner appointed you as a shliach to separate the truma. Why? If you thought that this case was dealing with a person who was not appointed as an agent to separate the truma for the owner, Mihavi truma so truma? Would his separation of truma even be considered truma? V'ha'atem gamatem amarachmana. We have a principle that the Torah, when it describes taking off truma, it uses this language of gam atem. Also, you should separate the truma. And the Gemara's drasha is atem gam atem, that the Torah really should have just said, you guys take off. But it added in an extra word gam, and we assume kol etin v'gam in ribuyin, that anytime the Torah uses the word et or the word gam, that it comes to add something. So gam v'ha'atem gam atem amar rachmana. The Torah used the phraseology of gam atem, and that's the rabo shluchacha, and that's to also include your agents, that your agents can also separate truma. But ma'atem l'daitchem, av shluchachem l'daitchem. Just like when you separate truma, you know that you're separating truma, you have das of it. So too, when your shlichem, when your agents separate truma, you also have to know that they're separating the truma, and thus it must be the shavi shliach. This case has to be a case where you appointed a shliach.
Isn't the ribuy of atem gam atem used l'rabos b'nei bris, ma atem b'nei bris af shluchachem b'nei bris?
Yeah, the Gemara. I want to say that the Gemara in Kiddushin over there, mem beis and beis, roughly, has a million drasos that come from gam atem, because all it's really doing is equating you to the shliach. That's really the main limud, I think, is that
in a lot of instances.
Yeah, I don't know. In a lot of instances or a lot of aspects that your agents have to be completely similar to you, and therefore any similarities are going to be true. So here we're saying the similarity is that it has to be to your knowledge. Moshe's pointing out another similarity, that they have to be Jewish. I think Limar has some other learning, some other limud and some other drushas that come from that, but I think it's all considered one drusha, because it's really just saying they have to be the same. So in any aspect in which they'd be the same.
Maybe from gam we learn one thing, and from atem we learn another thing?
The assumption seems to be that atem is needed, right? Because what the
there were two atems.
Kain tarimu.
Isn't the atem gam atem?
No. First atem is not in the pasuk. If you look in the pasuk, you should have it. But midbar yurches chavches, it should be on the side of the Gemara Torah. Or the pasuk is kain tarimu gam atem trumas Hashem. You guys also should separate the truma of Hashem. So it seems to be that the atem is needed. We have to say, ken tarimu atem trumas Hashem. You should separate the truma. But we don't need to say gam. So the gam comes to tell us, I think. That's my understanding of the drasha. What does Rashi say here? Atem gam atem. Ken tarimu gam atem. Right, we also learn shlucho shalom kamosa from here, which is how we know shlucho shalom kamosa is true by truma. Right. And then Rashi concludes, the keban the shlichus mehalchan afgalan. Since we're learning shlichus by truma from this pasuk, al korcha shluchachem dumya de atem ba'inan. We have to need that your shlichim should be like you
in many respects.
Right, in many respects, yeah. A, that they have to be ladaskam to your knowledge. B, that they have to be bnei bris, that they have to be Jewish. So that's going to be Rava's explanation for Abaye that you appointed a shliach el hacham askinan kigon the shavi shliach. The case that we must be dealing with is that you appointed a shliach. The Amrle Zil Trom, and he tells you to go and separate Truma. Below Amrle Trom Mehani, he didn't tell you specifically separate Truma from this produce. He just said, go separate Truma. The Stome de Balabayas, Kitaro Mibeno Nisutarim. The assumption is that when the owner of produce separates Truma, he's going to separate from the Benonis, from the medium quality the medium quality truma, the medium quality produce. Ba'azel ihu betarum miyafos. Then the shliach went and he separated truma from the best quality produce. Uva balabayis. And then the owner comes, umotso, and he sees this shliach separating truma as he asked him, but he didn't specify which produce to take it from, and he sees him taking from the yafos. The amar le klachetzo yafos, and he used this expression of, oh, you should have gone to the better produce. So therefore, we assume im nimsu yafos mehen trumaso truma. If you find, if there is actually better produce than this produce, then we assume he's really approving of your separation of the truma, even from the best produce, and he really wanted you to go to better produce, and therefore it would be trumaso truma. We'd assume that the truma is truma, vim lav ain't trumaso truma. But if we don't find better produce, then ain't trumaso truma. I must admit, I have a question. Maybe it's Moshe's question. Yeah.
Despite that, he made him a shliach.
In spite that he made him a shliach. Yeah, because he didn't specify where he was supposed to go.
And he didn't specify where he's supposed to go.
So right. So is the assumption that you should go everywhere?
Yeah, you can go anywhere.
Right. It's interesting. Tosus has an interesting discussion here. Maybe we won't see it inside for now, just because who knows how much time we'll have. But basically, Tosus wonders as follows. And the Torah doesn't specify how much truma a person has to take off. The Torah specifies a person has to take truma off. But I think we darshan from the pasuk mimenu that you're supposed to take off truma. That afilu chita achas teres esakri. Maybe that's not the right limud. But that even one stalk of wheat would be poter etakri, would midal raisa exempt a person from taking truma. But the rabbis came and instituted that a person has to take off a specific amount of truma. So how much is that amount? So we assume if a person is very generous, they should take off 1/40. Ayin yafe is achas marbaim. If a person is a medium generosity, then they should take off 1/50. And if a person is ayin ra, that they're not so generous, then they should take off 1/60. So Tosus points out that if you're going to separate truma for somebody else, the assumption is you're supposed to take ayin beinonis, that you're supposed to take the average amount, because we're not exactly sure what they would want you to take. Let's assume it's 1/50. But says the Gemara, that even if you add on, let's say, 1/10, or you decrease 1/10, it's machlokas exactly what that means, but it basically means the same thing. Rashi and Tosfos debate whether when we say if you add on a tenth, does that mean, or you add on 10, does that mean you add it onto the denominator, meaning you're supposed to take 50 and you added 60, which means you took less truma?
Less
or Tosfos says no, hotir means that you took actual more truma, you lowered the denominator by 10 to 40, which means you increased the total truma that was taken, fine. But regardless of whether you go up or down on the scale, we're going to assume truma so truma. It says Tosfos, why is it that when it comes to the amount of truma you're taking, you're supposed to take the average amount, and if you take more or less, it's still valid. But when it comes to klachetz oyavos, when it comes to taking from the best produce, you're supposed to take from the average type of produce. And if you take from better produce, it's a question whether you're going to be yotze. It depends whether the person approves of your separation or not. So why is there this discrepancy? When it comes to the amount, even if you deviate from the amount you're supposed to take, it's still valid, but when it comes to the quality of produce, if you deviate from the quality, it may not be valid. And Tosus basically says that, yeah, this principle of klachetz oyafos, we don't assume that a person is going to approve of any quality of produce that's taken. Well, we only assume...
Well, what's the comparison? If you take more or less, so at least some of what you gave was intended.
Right.
So you fulfill the mitzvah of truma.
That's basically Tosus's answer, exactly. He says that this is the produce that you're destined to take, and therefore some of what you gave is truma. If you take a little more, a little less, it's not such a big deal. But let's say he wanted you to take, I don't know, let's say we're talking about apples, just for, I don't even, whatever, it fits for a second. So let's say we're talking about apples. It could be that he never wanted to take any of his best apples to be used as truma. He only wanted to take his average quality apples to be used as truma. So if you were to separate from the best quality apples, then that's not going to be valid. He's not going to approve of that. Mm-hmm. So I think exactly the point you're making is Tosfos' answer here. If anyone wants to see it inside, this Tosfos, Dibur Makhil, Vim Lav, Ein Trumaso Truma, the second. Tosfos asks this in Kiddushin also. Fine. Just an interesting discussion. And yeah, back to Moshe's question. I think even though we appointed you a shliach, since he didn't specify which produce he wanted you to take from, then the assumption is he wants you to take from the average quality produce.
Right, that's a little counterintuitive.
Yeah.
If he said stam, then he said stam. Then he didn't specify. He left it up to you.
Right. Yeah, I hear. The question I had about this, I was starting to say, was that we seem to be assuming there are three qualities of produce. There's the worst, the best, and the average. And we said that in this case, the person went to the best, And then the guy comes and says, Klach etzel yafos, you should have gone to the best. So if there's some that's better than that, so my question is, how could there be anything better if we know that you went to the best? I guess the assumption is, even within the better, there's better and worse. So you went to the better produce, generally speaking, but not necessarily the best of the best. So if the guy comes, I think that's probably the answer. If the guy comes and says, Klach etzel yafos, you should have gone to the better produce. So if there's better than this produce, then your truma would be considered truma. But if not, then not. Okay, so let's continue on. Says Gemara.
You might say his dissatisfaction with him takes away the shlichus agency.
Yeah, I think that's true. Meaning, you weren't really appointed as a shliach for this action.
If you depart from my instructions, when he didn't give him instructions in this case.
Right. Yeah, but the assumption is it's a little bit of a departure from his instructions.
It's a departure from the norm. But
the instruction, right.
But it wasn't part of the instructions.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear. It's a little bit hard to figure out if he didn't specify. So how much does he have to follow the norms and how much not? Fine. Says the Gemara now, a related story.
Isn't there a Gemara that says that if the shliach evaluates his mishaleach as a generous person, so he can give from the higher quality? And
I think that's the numbers question. Yeah, I think it's the numbers question.
Yeah.
Right. The Hachi Amatich, Gemara says, this is how I assessed you. I thought you were Ayan Yafa. And that's why it's binding even when you take 1/40. But
all right.
So Amemar Mazutra Veravashi, Iklulu the Bustana, the Mari Bar Isak. Amemar Mazutra Veravashi, they all went to the orchard of this person, Mari Bar Isak. So Aiti Arise, Tamri Verimoni, Vishara Kamayu. Mari Bar Isak's sharecropper brought dates and pomegranates, and he threw them in front of these three rabbis. So Amemar Bar Ashi Achli, and Mar Zutra Lo Achil. Amemar and Rav Ashi ate from these dates and from these pomegranates, but Mar Zutra did not eat from them. So Adahachi Ata Mari Bar Isak. While they were eating, Mari Bar Isak came along, and he saw what they were up to. Ashkechinu Ba'amr Le Larise, Amailo Atite Luhu Lerabanan Mehanach Shapirta. So Mari Bar Isak comes, he sees them eating these dates and pomegranates, and he says to his sharecropper, why didn't you bring them from the better produce? So this seems to be exactly the statement of Klach Etzel Yafos. So now, Amr Le Amemar V'Rav Ashi Le Mar Zutra, Amemar and Mar Ashi and Rav Ashi turn to Mar Zutra, and they say, Hashta Amailo Ochil Mar, why aren't you going to eat from the produce now? Now that Mari Bar Isak has come, and seemingly he's shown that he approves of our eating, V'atanim Nimsu Yafos Mehen Trumas Utruma. The Brisa just told us that if the person comes and says, oh, you should have given them from the better produce, and they actually find better produce, that the truma is considered truma. So you should partake of all this fruit. So Amar Lehu, Hachi Amar Rava, Mar Zutra responded in defending himself that Rava has made the following statement, that Lo Amru Klach Etzel Yafos El Inyan Truma Bilvad, this statement of Klach Etzel Yafos and it giving approval of the person separating truma, if we find better produce, is only true when it comes to truma. Mishum de mitzvah hu v'nechale, because separation of truma is a mitzvah, and we assume a person approves when they say klach etzel yafos, you should have gone to the better produce, and there actually is better produce. They actually approve of you having taken from some of the best quality produce that they have. Aval hacha, but here when we're not doing a mitzvah, we're just partaking of this person's fruit. Mishum ksufusa hu damar hachi. He just said this because he was slightly embarrassed. He didn't want to embarrass his sharecropper. So the only reason he's saying you should have taken from the better fruits is because of embarrassment, but not because he really approves of him having given us some of his best produce. And therefore, I cannot rely on Klach Etzel Yafos to partake of this produce.
Why were hachnasas orchim is not a mitzvah?
Hachnasas orchim. That's a good question. It's worth pointing out that
They're not his areach. They're the areach
the sharecropper.
They're not the areach of the sharecropper. They're the areach of the owner of the field.
Oh, but that's Rudy's question.
Mari Barisik.
Right, I think that's Rudy's question. He's saying if the sharecropper is basically feeding the guests of Mari Bar Isak, then he should approve of giving them from the best produce, because that itself is a mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. So I think the answer, it's worth pointing out, that we often think of Hachnasas Orchim as just hosting guests. But really, Hachnasas Orchim is hosting guests who are needy. So when we have our friends over for a Shabbos meal, but you know they have very festive Shabbos meals on their own, they don't really need our Shabbos meal. So again, it's a great thing to do, and it's very important, but it's not necessarily Hachnasas Orchim.
It's a good sociological thing to do. Right.
No, 100%. So I think maybe the answer why it's not really Hachnasas Orchim is probably these rabbis have stuff that they could eat on their own. They're not necessarily needy or in need of being hosted. What? So in that way, it's not
a chassid. So if you invite people out for lunch, don't serve them until they're starving. You know, make them wait. Right.
Even then, they could probably still go home and eat their own. So right. It's still not.
Why weren't they concerned that it was Tevel that he was serving them?
I don't know. Should we have to be choshish that it's Tevel?
Sure, it's Amoritz. A sharecropper is an Amoritz.
By definition?
Literally. I mean, what does Amoritz mean in the Gemara? The people of the land.
The people of the, yeah. I don't know. I assume, yeah. It's a good question.
They were in the field. They didn't bring it into the house yet.
Yeah.
Well, it gets a little...
It's potter for Meiser?
It's potter for everything. If you go in the field and you're reading the field, it's until you make...
A row as play a bias?
Yeah. Until you make a kri, until you do a palace, potter and everything. You
that's
go
only... That's... Hmm.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But you can't eat a meal... You can only snack from it? What's the little...
I think once it's... You can only snack from it, yeah. But once it's Ro Pnei HaBayis, then it would be Chayv. You can't even eat Achilas Sarai. One of our Rebbeim shared that this Sarai came up in the beginning of the war. Rahman al-Tzlan, there were some soldiers who were stationed. Basically, I don't know, they didn't have a lot to do up in the north, and so they were in this avocado field. They were sort of picking avocados. They were trying to figure out if they could eat the avocados without Meiser. So it was like a whole question, but then they set up tents in the area. So the question is, if you bring them into the tents, is that considered like Ro Pnei HaBayis? Because that's the only place they were living. So one of our Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael, in the YU Smich program in Yerushalayim, had this question. Interesting question. But as far as where they were eating and also who the host was, this relates to a discussion. Tosus points this out that 3 weeks ago, the last daf in Baba Kama, we pointed out that Arisa midanashe kazavin, that when a sharecropper is selling produce, we can assume that he's selling from his own produce. So in this case, isn't the assumption that it's the sharecroppers, and therefore, why would Mar Zitra not eat? You don't have to worry about klachetzel yafos. Does Mari Bar Isak approve? Because presumably this comes from the sharecropper, and that would mean, like Moshe, maybe, I first was suggesting, maybe it really is the sharecropper who's the host, and not necessarily Mari Bar Isak. But Tosu says that there, we're talking about where the share, in the Gemara and Baba Kama, where we're assuming that it belongs to the sharecropper, is talking about where the sharecropper brought it from his own house. So if he brought it from his own house, presumably then it would already be Chayv Meiser because it was in the house. Mm-hmm. And there, it's assumed to belong to the sharecropper because it's assumed that he's taking from his own portion. Mm-hmm. But here, where we're still, this is a good deal. I didn't necessarily notice this before. They were in the orchard of Mar Bar Isak. Mm-hmm. So here, and this Tosu says, here where we're bringing from the orchard, then Mar Zitra was concerned that maybe at the time that the sharecropper was dividing up the produce, he didn't exactly say, this is going to be my portion and this is going to be Mar Bar Isak's portion. And therefore, you have to be concerned that it doesn't really belong to the sharecropper. Mm-hmm. And that's why when Mari Bar Isak came and approved, it was clear that he was approving, I guess, of this produce being eaten, and then Mar Zitra could have partaken. Fine. So that's this story related to Klachetzel Yafos, which itself was used as a question against Abaye, but Rava came to defend Abaye. The case must be where you appointed the person as a shliach, and thus it's not akin to Yeh Shlomidatz. Now, since Gemara, somewhat of a complicated question, Toshima, Odeyo Atal Alein B'Samach Hareze B'Chiyusan. So there's a rule that fruit, produce, food cannot really become roi l'kabal toma, cannot accept ritual impurity until it becomes hochshir l'kabal toma, until it becomes prepared for receiving ritual impurity. And the way that it does that is by becoming wet. And one of my rabbis pointed out that probably the idea of becoming hochshir l'kabal toma through becoming wet is that when something is wet, things stick to it, right? If you come out of the shower and you put your shirt on, and you're all wet, so your shirt sticks to your body. So too, if something becomes wet, then maybe that allows ritual impurity to stick to it. So we say that if there's dew on produce, and you approve, if the dew is still on the produce, and you're happy about the fact that the produce got a little bit moist, maybe it keeps it fresh, so hareze b'chiyusan, that's considered hukshar l'kabal tumma, that's considered as if water has come onto the produce, and it's hukshar l'kabal tumma. But nigvu, if the produce became dry, then afal pisha samach, even though you're later happy that originally it was wet, still, nonetheless, we say, einon b'chiyusan, that those do not become hokshur l'kabal tumma. And the Gemara asks, time am I, why is that, that if the produce becomes dry, even though it was originally wet, even if you're happy about the fact that it was originally wet, it's not considered hokshur l'kabal tumma. Lav mishum de lo amrinon, kevan de gloi milsa de hashta nechale, meikar nami nechale, isn't the reason that the produce doesn't become hokshur l'kabal tumma, is because we do not say that since it's revealed that you approve now, then originally you approved also. We don't say that since you approve of the produce having gotten wet now, That means you also approve of the produce having gotten wet way back when they were wet. So that's a kasha on Rava. Just like we don't say that here, that we don't assume approval late from previously based on your approval now, we also shouldn't say by Yeyush Shalom Midas that it's considered Yeyush. The fact that you're going to later find out that you lost the object and give up hope of finding it does not mean that at the time when you had not yet been informed, that that's considered Yeyush. This is a kasha on Rava. So answers the Gemara, Shaini Hasam, Dechdiv Ki Yitein, Ad Sheyitein. The reason over here it's different is because the pasuk specifically says ki yitein ad sheyitein, that you have to put water on the produce, and since there's a specific requirement that you put water on the produce, then we require that you know meirosh. We require that you be happy about it when it's still wet. Approving of the fact that it was wet once it's already dry is not going to work. But when it comes to Yeyush Shalom Midas, where we don't have such a Gzeiras HaKasuf, we don't have an explicit verse telling us something like that, then even Yeyush Shalom Midas should be considered Yeyush. Now, I'm sort of intentionally misreading the Gemara because I think that's the way the Gemara reads it. Ki Yitain, this pasuk is very cryptic. So now ask the Gemara. Ksiv, we'll get to it in a second.
Right.
Ksiv, right. The Ksiv is Ki Yitain, which the Gemara is going to get to in 1 second. Yihachi reishanami, asked the Gemara. So if it's true that you have to place the water there, then even in the reisha also, the Gemara says that dew had come onto the produce, and we said that if you approve of the dew having come onto the produce, that's considered hukshur l'kabal tumah. But you didn't place that water there, so why is it that it can become hukshur l'kabal tumah through the dew falling on it? So answers the Gemara, hatam kidirav pukha. That the explanation for the reisha, the explanation for how it becomes hukshur l'kabal tumah when the dew falls on it, is like Rav Papa. The Rav Papa Rami, because Rav Papa posed the following steer, the following contradiction in the verse. That the verse says, ksiv ki yitain. The way the verse is written, the way you would read it without punctuation, is ki yitain, with a chirik under the yud, that you place the water on the produce. The karinan ki yutan. But we read it with a kubutz, I believe is the punctuation, under the yud. We read it with an u sound, that it's when water will be placed. It's not that you necessarily have to place the water, but we read it as if it says when water will be placed. So how do we resolve this contradiction between the way you would have read the pasuk and the way we actually read the pasuk based on the punctuation? Haketzad, how do we understand it? Ba'inan kiyutain, kiyutan dumya dechiyitain. We need water being placed passively, not necessarily by yourself, which is how we read the verse, to be similar to water being placed on the produce, which is how the verse would be read without punctuation. Ma yitain ledas, or there's a girsa change the way the Gemara normally has it, is ma yitain denechale. Just like when you place water on produce, when you do it actively, that would be to your knowledge, or you would approve of such a thing. So af kiyuta nami ledas. So too, when water is placed on produce, not by you, but it is placed, we need it to be ledas, we need it to be to your knowledge, we need it to be nechale, we need you to approve it. So that's why when dew falls on produce, and you're happy about that, that's considered hukshur l'kabal tumah, because the water was placed passively, which is kiyutan, but you approve of it, which makes it similar to kiyitain, which makes it similar to you placing it on, and that's why it's going to become hukshur l'kabal tumah. But if it's already dry and only then you approve of it, then it's lacking in kiyitain, it's not similar to you placing the water on the produce, because you didn't do it midas, you didn't do it with knowledge, you didn't approve of it until later, until it was already dry, and at that point it's not going to be significant. So thus this is not a question on Rava, even though it would seem to indicate that Yeyush Shalom Midas lo havi Yeyush, because later approval does not help. It's only by Hukshur L'Kabal Tumah where later approval does not help, because we have an explicit Gzeiras HaKasuv. But when it comes to Yeyush Shalom Midas, later approval could actually work. And that segues very nicely into the last Tashima that the Gemara brings against Rava. Tashima, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel ben Yehud Tzadok, another Girsa Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Tzadok. Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel ben Yehud Tzadok, made the following statement. How do I know that if a lost item becomes washed away by the river, that it's muteres, that it's permitted to take such an object? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, Parshas Ki Teitze, V'chein ta'aseh l'chamoro, v'chein ta'aseh l'simato, v'chein ta'aseh l'chol avidas achicha, asher tovar bimenu mitzaso, that you should take any item that's lost into your house. You should do that for your friend's donkey, you should do that for your friend's garment, you should do that for every object of your friend that's lost from him and that you find. So We darshan from that verse that Misha Avuda Himenu Umitsuya Etzel Koladam, the type of item that you have to take responsibility for and try to give back to your friend, is an item which is lost from your friend, but is still present in front of everybody else, that everybody else could find such an item. But that's to exclude a case where the river comes and washes away an item. Yatz Dazu Sha'avuda Mimenu Ve'ena Mitsuya Etzel Koladam. That's to exclude an item which is lost from your friend and also is lost, is not found, is not there for all people because it was washed away by the river. So that's how we know that an item which was washed away by the river is permitted for you to take. You don't have to return it to your friend. And we darshan, based on that, the isura dumya de hetera. A case that you're prohibited from taking is similar to a case like an item where you are allowed to take. The case where you're allowed to take an item is this case where it was washed away by the river. And we say that in such a case, in a permitted case, ma hetera bein de ispa simen u bein de leispa simen shara, in a case where the item is permitted for you to take, that's going to be true whether there's a simen, whether your friend has a sign in the item or not, it would still be permitted for you to take. So afisura bein de ispa simen u bein de leispa simen asura. So too, a case of an item which is prohibited for you to take, a case where you're not allowed to take it, is both the case where the friend has a simen, which we said in the beginning of the sugya, Rava agreed, when your friend has a simen, yeyesh shalom idas is not yeyesh. Uvein deleis basimen, even if the item doesn't have a simen, if your friend has no way of knowing that this item is his, still it's asura. That would show that yeyesh shalom idas, that lose giving up hope of the item without necessarily knowing that you lost the item, is not considered yeush. Tiyufta di Rava, tiyufta. And that completely refutes Rava. And based on that, we say, Vehilchasa kavose de Abaye bi Al-Kigam. Based on that, we paskin like Abaye in the six cases of Yal-Kigam. This case, of course, is the first case of Yal-Kigam. Yeush alamidas is the Yud. And then Rashi delineates the rest of the cases here. The ayin is Eid Zomim Nasa Pasul Mafreya Machokas Abaye Rava, about the status of a witness, a false witness, and Eid Zomim, both in Baba Kama and Beis, and in Sanhedrin on Daf Chav Zayin. Lamed is a big machlokas, whether that's Lechia Omen Me'elav, related to a beam as it's used for an Erev, an Erev in Daf Tesvav. Alternatively, other options, you may Leida Shein Aroa Bahem, if a woman doesn't see blood during the days after she gave birth, whether that can count for a Shivan Akiyim, machlokas in Masechta Nida. Alternatively, it could be Lo Efshar V'Kamechavein, a case where you're not supposed to get benefit from something, but it's against your will, you have no possibility of avoiding it, but you also have intent to benefit. That's sort of the discussion Tosfos there in Kiddushin Daf Mem Beis. The Kuf is Kiddushin Shein Musurin Labiyah, Machlokas Abaye Rava, related to marriage, which is not fit for relations, Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph. The Gimel is Gilui Daita Begita, if somebody tries to show that they don't want this get to be valid, but they just show it through Das, that's a machlokas in Gin, Daf Lamadali. And the Mem is Mumar Ochel Nevelos Lateavon or Lahakas, the Vengirsa is also there in Sanhedrin and Daf Chavsayin. So those are the famous six cases of Yal Kagam, machlokas exactly about the Lamed. But we paskin like Abaye against Rava in all of those cases. In our case, Yeh Shalomidas is the first of those. Asks Rav Acha, the son of Rava, to Rav Ashi, since Rava has been refuted, and we're going to paskin that Yeyosh Lomidas lo havi Yeyosh, how do we eat dates which are flung, I guess, off of a tree through the wind? How can we possibly eat such items? Presumably we should say that it's Yeyosh Lomidas, that the Bailim don't necessarily know that the dates fell off the tree or that they were carried by the wind. And that should not be considered yeyush, so we shouldn't be able to eat them. So answers Rav Ashi Amar Lei Kevin the Ikash Gatzim Miramasim Da Kaachli Lehu Meikare Yeyush Miayish Minayim. He says since there are all types of animals, all types of bugs which eat from these dates, presumably the Bailim give up hope of ever recovering these items because they become so gross originally when they fall off the tree, and thus this is not considered yeyush lomidas. This is actually considered like yeyush midas, and that's how we can eat such produce. So asks then Rav Acha Berei D'Rava, presumably, maybe it's just a Gemara, but probably Rav Acha Berei D'Rava, Yatami D'Lav B'nei Mechilin in Hu Mai. What would you say about the dates which come from the tree of orphans who are not able to be mochel, they're not able to forgive and allow you to eat their produce? So Amar Lei, Baga Be'ara D'Yatami Lo Machzikim. He says, we don't assume that if you have a whole valley, let's say you have a whole valley where a bunch of dates have fallen off trees and fallen into this valley, so we're not going to assume that the valley belongs to orphans and assume that they can't be mocha and you wouldn't be able to eat the dates. If you find dates that are in a valley, we're going to assume that they belong to somebody who is a ben mechila, who is willing to forgive, right, exactly, Basarov, is willing to forgive the ownership of the dates, and thus you can partake of the dates. So ask Gemara, that's fine in general, about a general valley, a general bika, where we don't know that it belongs to orphans, but muchzak ve'omid mai, let's say we know for sure it belongs to orphans, then how can we partake of these dates? Or krachta mai, what would you say if the area where these dates fell is an area that's protected, either Rashi says by palm trees, Tosfos I believe says by a fence, but let's say it's separate, it's protected, and animals, bugs can't get in there, and thus they don't become gross. And thus, even if we're not dealing with orphans, let's say we're dealing with regular people who are b'nei mechila, still we can't assume that they were miayish because the produce doesn't become gross, and therefore, how can we eat these dates? And Amar Leh, Asira, and Ravashi says, you're right, they're prohibited, we're not allowed to partake of such dates, we would not be allowed to eat these dates because Yeyesh Shalom Midas is not Yeyesh, and we can't explain this case as a case of Yeyesh Midas if we have these ukimtas, if we know that it belongs to Yatomim who can't be mochel, or we know it's protected from animals, it'd be prohibited to eat such
produce. If it's protected by a fence, why would you have the halamina that you could go in there even if he was miyach? Can you go into someone's property and take stuff which presumably there was yush?
Yeah, so Tosis points out, I think, that we're not talking about you going into their property. We're talking about...
It blew out of the property.
It blew out of the property, uh-huh. But the owner was assuming that they would all stay within the property and not get eaten by animals. So thus, he never gave up hope of recovering these items. He assumed that they would stay in the area and be protected from animals. And even then, the question is, if they blew outside of his property, are we allowed to eat them or not? And the answer is, no, we're not allowed. Fine. Now, the Gemara returns to the Mishnah, which said that krichos pishus harabim harei elu shalom. Let's say you find bundles of grain in the public domain that they would belong to you. So Amar Rabba, v'afilu b'davar shi'es bo siman. Says Rabba, even if these bundles of grain have a siman on them, they still can belong to you if they're in the public domain. You could take them. Alma kasava Rabba, siman ha'asui lidareis lo habi siman. It's clear that Rabba assumes if you have a sign, but the sign is destined to be trampled upon because it's in the public domain, that it's not considered a sign, and that's why you're allowed to take them. This sign is considerable. Rava Amar, lo shanu ela b'davar she'ein bo simen, aval b'davar she'yesh bo simen, chayav l'hachris. Rava says, no, this statement about taking the bundles of grain was only said if they do not have a sign on them, but if they do have a sign on them, you'd be obligated to publicize the fact that this item was lost. Alma k'savar Rava, simen ha'asui lidareis, havi simen. And thus it's clear that Rava assumes that the sign on this grain, even though it's destined to be trampled because it's in the public domain, is still considered to be a simen. Now, one version of this machlokas has it as follows. Some treat this machlokas Abaye and Rava, I don't know what I've been saying until now, Rava and Rava as being taught separately from the Mishnah. It wasn't taught on the Mishnah, but it was just taught independently that Simen ha'asui lidareis, if you have a sign which is destined to be trampled, Rava amar lo havi simen, Rava assumes it's not considered a simen in the item, the Rava amar havi simen, and Rava assumes it is a simen. So now the Gemara poses a question from the Mishnah. Tznan, krichos pirshus harabim, harei elu shelo, pirshus hayachid, no telu machris. If you find bundles of grain in the public domain, they belong to you. If you find them in the private domain, then you have to publicize the fact that they were lost. So ask the Gemara, hey chidami, what's the case of these bundles of grain? Idaleis be'u simin, pirshus hayachid, my machris. If there's no simin on the grain, then even if you find them in the private domain, what are you supposed to publicize about these items? Hare, there's no simin. There's nothing that you can inform a person about them or that he can inform you in order to claim ownership of them. Elav de isbu simin. Mustn't we be dealing with a case where there is a simin on the grain? The katani birshus harabim hare elu shelo. And nonetheless, the Gemara tells us that in the public domain, they belong to you, even though they have a simin. So alma simin ha'asui lidareis lo havi simin tiyuv to derava. That would seemingly indicate that a sign which is destined to be trampled is not considered a simin, and that's why they belong to you. And that's a question on Rava. So Amar Lecha Rava, the Olam de Lesbiv Simen, says Rava, really we must be dealing with a case where the items do not have a simen on them, with the Kamarta Birshus Yachid, my Machres, and you were wondering in the private domain, what should you announce, what should you publicize about these bundles, so you'd be Machres Makom. You would publicize the place where they were found, and that's how the person would claim ownership of them. The Rava Amar, and Rava assumes that Makom Lohabi Simen. Rava assumes that the place where they are found is not considered a simen, and thus you wouldn't publicize that. It must be then that we're dealing with a case of bundles of grain which have a simen, and that's why That's why Bishas Hayachid, you would publicize it. And how do we know that Rabbah assumes Makom lo Avi Simin? De Idmar Makom Rabbah Amar lo Avi Simin, V'Rava Amar Havi Simin. If you have a statement about exactly this Machlokas Rabbah and Rava, if you have something which is just in a place, is that considered a Simin or not? Rabbah assumes not, Rava assumes yes. We'll just do one more case. Tashima, Krichos Bishas Arabim, Hare Elu Shalom, Bishas Hayachid, No Telu Machrit. It's very related to what we were just discussing, that if you find bundles in the public domain, they belong to you. If you find them in the private domain, you have to take them and you have to publicize that they were found. The ha'alumos, let's say you have really big bundles of grain, bein birshus harabim uvein birshus hayachin no telu machris. Both in the public domain and in the private domain, you cannot keep them, you have to take them and publicize that they were found. So Rabba hechi mitaritzla, the Rabba hechi mitaritzla. How is Rabba going to explain this case, and how is Rava going to explain the case? Rabba, who said that the reason in the Rishus HaRabim that you can keep them is because they become trampled, then how is he going to explain why the big bundles of grain you cannot keep in the Rishus HaRabim? And Rava, who assumes that the reason you could keep the bundles in the public domain is because they don't have a sign, then what's going to be the difference between the big bundles of grain and the small bundles of grain? So Rabba Latamar Tzatami B'Simin, Rabba is going to explain the case as dealing with a simin, as dealing with a sign, because he assumes that makom, that a place, is not considered the simin. So the only way he's going to be able to explain this case is by using that a real simin. The Rabba Matar Tzatame B'Makom, Rabba is going to explain the case as dealing with the place in which they're found. And the Gemara explains exactly what that means. Rabba Matar Tzatame B'Simin, Rabba is going to explain this case based on the sign that's in the item, that Krichos Birshus Arabim Hare Ilu Shalo. If you find small bundles of grain in the public domain, they belong to you, Mishum de Midrasa, because they become trampled, and Rabba assumes that a simin ha'asui ledaris lo havi simin, a sign that becomes trampled by the masses, is not considered a simin. But Birshus Hayachet, no telemachre is the lo midrasa. In the private domain, you would take the item and publicize it, because the item does not become trampled. Therefore, the sign that's on them is going to remain a sign, and thus, everyone would agree, if you have a sign which is not going to be trampled, that that's going to be a sign. Thus, you have to publicize it when you find it in the private domain. B'ha'alumos, bein b'shus harabim, bein b'shus hayachin, no telu machres, kevan digvian, lo midrasa. Big bundles, which we're assuming, according to Rabba, have a sign, both in the public domain and the private domain. You would take them and you would publicize them. Because they're big, because they're very tall, they're big bundles, their sign will not get trampled, and therefore their sign will remain, and it'll be a valid sign, based on which you'll have to publicize that they were found, and hopefully the rightful owner will come and find them and claim them. The Rava Matar Tzatame, Rava is going to explain this case, Lishita, so according to how he would assume, that Bimakom, that we're dealing with a case where the place in which they are found serves as a simon, because Rava thinks that the place can serve as a simon. Krichos Birshus Arabim, Hare Elu Shalo, De Minshitva, I don't know exactly how to pronounce that word, that if you have small bundles in the public domain, they become yours, because they get, Rashi says, that they get mixed up into the feet and of the animals and of people. They start getting kicked around. They're not found in the exact original place where they were lost originally, and thus the makom is not going to be able to serve as a simon. But Birshus Hayachid, Chayav L'Hachriz, Lo Minshitva. In the private domain, you would have to publicize that this item was found, because it's assumed to be found in the exact same spot where it was lost, because in the private domain, these items don't get kicked around. The halumos, bein b'shus hayachid, bein b'shus harabim, bein b'shus hayachid, big bundles of grain, both in the public domain and in the private domain, no telum achris, those you would have to take and publicize them. Kaven de yakiri, since they're really heavy, since they're so big, lo minshitfa, they don't get kicked around, and thus they're assumed to be found in the same place where they were lost. According to Rabba, who assumes that a makom is a simon, that the place in which they're found can serve as a simon, you'd have to publicize it so the owner can come and find them and claim them based on the makom. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, thank you.